Here is the participation rate of the webinar attendees by answering the final evaluation and the pop quiz. And you can see the line up above, the lighter blue, says on average close to 60% of participants, they will answer the pop quiz during the webinar. And then close to 45% of the total participants, they will answer the final evaluation at the end of the webinar. So a little bit lower, but it's much better than before, because when we use the simple survey or the email methods, only two people ever answered those evaluations. So it's a big improvement. And then in terms of timing, Gisela has kindly identified two possible times. One is 1300 UTC, the other is 2000 UTC. And based on the results, so we asked people whether it's too early, too late, or just right. And the majority of participants, they said just right. And you can see the orange bar shows that. However, we need to keep in mind that the participant name may come from North America region or European region, so just right is just right for them. So we need to take into consideration that we have other participants in Asia-Pacific region, and it may not be the perfect timing for them. So that's about the timing. And then next is in terms of technology used for the webinar, and on average, 82% of the participants said it's very good or good. So that's a positive finding. And in terms of speakers, whether they have demonstrated the mastery of topics, on average, it's 92% of participants said they have demonstrated extremely strong or strong mastery of topics. And next, overall question, are you satisfied with the webinar? 95% on average said they're extremely satisfied or satisfied. So these are all very positive results. And this graphic shows a correlation. So the orange line you see is people, how they indicated they're extremely satisfied with the webinar. And then there's three other lines. And the blue one on the top is about the timing. And then there's a green one is about the speaker's mastery of topic. And then the darker blue one at the bottom is about technology. And if you see the correlation, if it's close to one, means it's positively correlated. If it's close to zero, then there's not much kind of a correlation. So this graphic just shows that the speaker's mastery of topic is the most relevant to people's satisfaction with the webinar. And the timing is the second. The technology is second, and the timing is the third. And then in terms of pop quiz, we introduced this element to the webinar to keep people engaged during the webinar, and also test whether they really paid attention to the details. And here we have three webinars that use these methods, and then the red part you see in the slice shows whether people answered that question incorrectly. So some webinar have a lot of people didn't answer the questions incorrectly, like the third one about a large website and a glossary. But this doesn't mean it's bad. It means it could be a challenging question and make them think, and not really kind of promote, just encourage them to pay more attention in the future. So these are the pop quiz. And then this is the overall analysis. In summary, participation rate has increased dramatically after we implemented this new method of using the poll in the Adobe Connect room. And then the second finding is more people participate in the pop quiz than the evaluation, and the possible reason could be some people, they cannot stay towards the end of the webinar, so they skip the last part of doing evaluation. And also we have a lot of returning participants, and the evaluation questions are the same for each webinar, so they don't want to do that again. So those are the possible reasons. And then in terms of timing, Both times work fine, 1300 UTC and 2000 UTC, although 1300 UTC seem perform a little bit better than 2000. But of course, it's still not super friendly to people that live in Asia Pacific region. And then we will keep looking to other alternatives. And then the fourth finding is based on our evaluation, the technology used, the speakers' quality, and the overall satisfaction of the webinar are really high. So those things contribute to the success of the program in 2015. And then the fifth about correlation is the speaker's mastery of topic is most relevant to people's satisfaction of the webinar. And then the timing is the least. And then lastly, about pop quiz is just a really good way to get people engaged. And we can really draw from the accuracy rate whether people paid attention or not, because some of the questions are really challenging. So that's just a quick evaluation of the 2015 program. And also based on our discussion in the last capacity building working group call, Cheryl actually suggested we add a couple of more questions for the evaluation, asking people's background, whether they're a newcomer or experienced member, and also include whether which geographic locations they're located. So we'll make sure to include those quick questions in the final evaluation to make the funding more comprehensive. That's all for this part. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ariel. Ariel is doing very great job for us. Really, we have real support from our staff that make us do this work properly. As you know, today, for example, in the morning, there was we felt that there is a need for a capacity building about the delegation and the redelegation of the TLDs. So we will add this topic to the list for the second half of the year. Also, I don't know, it was, I think, 1 month ago, people suggested that we add the accountability and the transition on the list, because now that the path is always finished, when we have the last reports, perhaps we will have a webinar about that and explain to our ALSs what is done, what have to be done, what will be done in the future. So those are the first suggestion for the second half of the year. But we will have to decide on that together in the working group. And the next call will be dedicated to that. Yes? Yes, Maureen, please.
It's all right. Thank you, Tijani. It's Maureen for the record. I think that the results do look very good, and it is very reliant on the fact that it's to do with the responses for those people who actually sort of like do attend, and when the response rate from areas like the Pacific aren't as great because they don't get an opportunity to watch listen to the webinar, it can skew the sort of like the results a little bit. But yes, I agree with the sorts of things that that Cheryl has mentioned. But I still have a concern that, I think I might be preempting what Betsy may bring up in relation to ICANNLEARN, is that there's some valuable information that is raised in our webinars, and we really do need to align what is, these webinars have been selected because they've been chosen by our users, and there needs to be follow-up. There needs to be some way in which the information can be used on an ongoing way, and ICANNLEARN sort of like being able to work in conjunction with the capacity building program can sort of like base some of the learning programs on what is developed.
This is agenda item number 4. Okay. Thank you very much, Maureen. Useful what you said. I may also say that for the quiz, we are trying to to improve also, because perhaps we will ask our speakers to give more questions and more perhaps elaborated questions, so that we have better feedback from the participants. And this is something that we will do with Ariel and with Gisela when we plan the webinars. Okay, so now we reach the item number four, Maureen, which is the cooperation with I Can Learn. And I am happy to announce that we have Elizabeth with us here, who will tell us. We already, this is an effort that we started, I think, 1 year ago with Jeff. And we had an agreement with him, more or less, on especially making courses from our webinars, putting all our webinars on the I Can Learn platform, so that even those who didn't have the time or the opportunity to participate live, they can go and retrieve it and have everything that we did without losing anything. I don't know what was done, what wasn't done. I know that it is not done yet. So we will today we will discuss with Elizabeth why it wasn't done, how we can make it be done, and how we can perhaps improve our cooperation. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hello, I'm Betsy Andrews. I'm with the Department of Development and Public Responsibility. You feel free to call me Betsy, which is my nickname, but if you want to email me, it's elizabeth.andrews@icann. Thank you for inviting me to be here today. I'm really interested in answering your questions first and foremost, but I would like to echo what Maureen said, and that is I see I Can Learn as an opportunity to serve as a repository for all of the hard work you've already put in to your webinars. But I would like to explain that I Can Learn classes can be a living document and a living mechanism. So we don't just park a video on there. You have the opportunity to add text copy, edit things. We have the opportunity to translate voiceovers or captions. We also have the opportunity to put your quizzes into the I Can Learn course formats. And there are more and more opportunities that I'm working with the software company that provides I Can Learn to change and make better for our users. So the main thing that I want to express today is that all the changes that are happening on I Can Learn are a result of feedback that I'm getting from the community. So if you have an idea of something that you would like to happen, or if you have questions about how things work, absolutely get in touch with me. If it's something I can implement immediately, I will. If it's something that needs to be discussed more broadly within the community, we can do that. If it's something that needs to be put on a long-term list of features to add to the online learning platform, I am here to facilitate that for you. So regardless of what has gone on in the past, I want to tell you that we have this capability to make your webinars go further and to reach a broader audience. I also have the capability to interface with ICANN staff and perhaps source other experts that you may or may not already have in your rota of webinars that are going to happen. So I really would like for you to view me as a resource, view me as a sounding board. I would love to have your ideas and help take all of your hard work and just make it go that little bit further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. What the aim of this discussion is to know what you need from us to make our work, our webinars, appear on the platform. Second, what kind of format you may do so that it will be easier to access and easier to, if you want, to retrieve. And can you help in the preparation of our webinars so that they will be compatible with your platform? So all these discussions should happen now, so that in the next 6 months, we will have something on the platform. We discussed that before, and nothing happened. So now we need to have results. So, and before I give you the floor, I will see what is the question of Maureen.
Thank you, Betsy. We had a meeting with Rob Hoggart. Oh, sorry, Maureen, for the record. We had a meeting with Rob Hoggart the other day, and I think it's really valuable if you are actually part of those discussions that we have with him, because we're actually looking at what is the most appropriate way of putting messages across, especially to a lot of our users who aren't very technically au fait with a lot of the, a lot of the information that we're trying to direct towards them. So, that would be awesome.
Betsy Andrews with DPRD, for the record. I agree. I'd be happy to participate. I'm flexible and can make myself available. I'm hearing what we need are next steps. So what I need from you is a list of priorities of which webinars in the past you would like to be put on the platform, and that's where we will start. In terms of format, that's up to you. The platform is really flexible. We can do video, we can do text, we can do interactive graphic images, we can do YouTube video if you don't want to embed a flash video. It's very flexible. It can be what you want it to be. One thing I envision is if there is topical overlap with projects or courses that other groups are working on, I would like to combine those efforts rather than reinventing the wheel in different parts of the ecosystem. I would like to help bring those things together. So it may be that if you tell me you're working on a webinar on a particular topic, I can introduce you to another group and we can have a combined effort that will be a different kind of course that we pull together, but it will be lasting. Another point that I want to raise in terms of accessibility or in terms of timing, if you offer a webinar that is not a good time for North America, for example, or not a good time for Asia Pacific, it is nice for you to be able to immediately point someone to the ICANNLEARN course. So I would like to be efficient in terms of when a webinar is prepared. I would like to get it on the platform ASAP so that you can point people in that direction. And other things in terms of translated captions and whatnot can be added later, because it is a living resource. It is something that we can continue to edit. The other thing that I want to mention is that mobile accessibility is something that's being developed in the background with the ICANNLEARN platform. And so there is an opportunity where you can make your webinars more accessible to people who might have intermittent internet access. And there are ways that I can work with you in terms of, we don't want to repeat material, but in terms of making maybe just video material more digestible in brief versions that can be accessible to people with differing levels of accessibility. So the big main next step is to tell me the priority of the webinars that have gone before that you would like posted, and also help me identify the people you would like for me to work with, and we can curate those courses and get them live.
Thank you very much, Betty. For the previous webinars, it will be done, no problem. We have the list, and we'll give you, and your reference will be Gisela or Ariel. They will tell us. But I am worrying about the future. I propose that we do our webinar, and it will be live on the platform. Is it possible?
Not at present, but I think there may be a way to make that happen.
Okay, good. So this is one thing. So we will replace the live by immediate uploading on the platform just after the completion of the webinar. Okay. Second point, we use three languages for our webinar. Can we have them on the platform? Okay, very good. This is wonderful reaction, and this is, I think, very helpful. And we can also, as you said, give you the list of our topics, and we try to work together. If there is something done already, we have a look of it at it before we perform our webinar, if there are resources that we don't know about, you can give them to us. So it will be interactive between us, if you don't mind. Okay, she say, oh, yes. Very good. I have a question from Siranush, and then I will give you the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Siranush Vardanyan for the record. Thank you, Betty, for the work you do, and this is really very helpful, and I'm sure it will become a useful resource for many of end users. Except those, together with those webinars which we are doing on at large level, we also do webinars on RALO levels. So we have also, for example, for Asia Pacific, we have specific topics suggested by ALSs in our region, and we are running those webinars in partnership with APAC Hub. So it would be good also to coordinate our works with the GSC team and RALOs and have those local webinars on RALO levels webinars also posted there. They might be webinars which will be repeating the topic, and I agree that we may compile and have the both sides, RALO level and at large level, global level, both sides webinars posted in a combined way. But we need to also pay attention to the webinars on RALO levels as well. They are really pretty helpful.
Thank you, Siranush. I'd like to propose to add a point, an item on the agenda, capacity building at large and capacity building RALOs. Okay? So,
Betsy Andrews with DPRD for the record. I think that's a great idea, and that's certainly something that we can do. I have posted a link in the Adobe chat that is a course that my predecessor developed to introduce people to how to take a course and how to start compiling a course. And if you look at that course, you will see the flexibility that we have. I can create categories, so we can create capacity building category that you can go to and you can see all the resources listed. And we can do that in each language. I can also create categories that incorporate the RALO-related material. Another element of the course creation is that a course, and you can see up there how it's divided into lectures. So those bold sections, if we have one topic that could be our class curriculum, we can have multiple bold sections. That could be multiple webinars. It could be material from multiple groups within the ecosystem. So we have flexibility to both separate and to compile information. And I'm hoping that that will help people who are interested specifically in one topic to start following that trail of opportunities to learn about it. Currently, we have five language platforms. So we have an individual platform in each of the UN in languages, but we're working on getting a single sign-on access. So, for example, if you're trilingual, but you prefer to learn in Spanish as opposed to English, you can follow a link to the English page and see whether or not your course is available in Spanish and go directly there. Whereas currently, you would have to have a login for each of the language platforms and go directly to that course. So that's something that we can work on streamlining. Presenting your webinars in three language indicates to me that we can put them on each of the three language platforms, but we need to caption what's offered in the other languages immediately. So, for example, if you're speaking in three languages on your webinar, we need to have those captions translated, or we need to have voiceovers done according to the timestamps on the video. So that's something to do to help with the collaboration, because I personally don't think that putting it only on the English website, if the majority of it is in French, is the way to go, simply because if someone is specifically learning in French, we would like for them to be able to find that on the French site. I hope that helps to be a little more clear.
Betty, thank you very much. I think it is better, since we have multiple language, it's better to make the user use the right language. It is better than the captioning. The captioning is good when you don't have the possibility to hear the right language, or perhaps to people who don't speak the three languages that we are using. But I am sure that at large people speak at least one of those three languages. Any other question? Any other remark? Yes, please. Okay, Daniel.
Thank you very much, Tijani. My name is Daniel, for the record. My suggestion comes especially on creating like DVDs that can be given like to university students or university institutions. Like, for instance, let me see if I can get it. Okay, like, what happens that when the DVD for I Can Learn is placed into the computer, it begins to play the respective courses like the introduction and so forth. So this will help to solve the challenge of probably connectivity. So in case like a community says like they prefer a DVD in English or French or so forth, yeah, it can easily be distributed and placed, plugged into the computer, then they can watch and learn respectively with appropriate assessments to gauge the learning abilities. I think that would also be great, because with that we can be able to reach multiple universities, we can be able to target a vast communities, and we shall reduce on the challenge that, we have internet connectivity problems, so what can we do about it? I think that's a good idea. Thank you.
Betsy with DPRD, for the record. Thank you for that idea. I think it's a good one. I can learn. I can't just extract it and put it on a DVD, but we can use iCanLearn as the platform to compile the information and then create a document that would go with a video. And I can look into options of how to have that video embedded in the document. But that's not something that currently is transferable from the online situation directly into a DVD that we could hand to a student to play. But I appreciate your feedback, and that's something I'll look into. I also wanted to clarify, previously, when you said you did the webinars in three languages, I didn't realize that it was simultaneous audio in three different languages. So that's actually already done. That's really easy. We just put it on the three individual language platforms, and then you have the link that you can send in that language. Thank you
very much. I was about to propose you that you extract the material from the platform and to put it on another media or to make it in a file that people can download and can put on USB stick or any or DVD or anything. So this is something that you can do.
Betsy with DPRD. I will follow up on that one and see how we can make that possible and when we can make that happen.
Thank you very much. I have Cheryl.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record. I just wanted to not take a point, and this is a pun, in time to make sure we capture that we need to do more time capturing points in our webinars. Many of the chats and activities that we do have the capability, but we're not doing it enough. And as someone who often has to go back through both the written transcript and the audio record, to have something as simple as a timestamp routinely and automatically put in just the chat, let alone anywhere else in what we're doing, makes a great point from which we can pivot. And I suspect a lot of what you will be doing, Betsy, will be made easier if we make that a norm. So it's a selection within Adobe Connect. It can be done, but I think we need to make it the normal standard rather than we will think about it and often forget. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Betty.
Betsy Andrews with DPRD. That's a great idea, and you're right. That would streamline my efforts on the back end. Another point that I wanted to make is that we have discussion built in, and you can put discussion on each of the individual lessons, like when we were looking at before, the lectures that are compiled under the bold header lesson, or you can have one discussion for the whole topic. Currently, it can work either with Discus, the third-party discussion thing that you create your login, and that links you to everything to every opportunity where you're using Discus to write a comment. A lot of newspapers use that. But there is also an embedded I Can Learn one that is unique to us. Currently, the reason why you might want to use Discus is because the internal one does not yet have a notification system to ping you if somebody has responded to your comment. But this is something that we can turn on and we can turn off, and it's something that I'm monitoring already. So it is a way for your webinar to for the discussion to begin with the webinar, and then it is a format and a platform for that discussion to continue. And that might really help with some of the content information that Ariel's been gathering with your surveys and statistics as well, because it would be an additional place for someone to provide feedback.
Thank you very much. Please. Go ahead.
Marissa Min
Madagascar, and I think that you kind of answered my question. Let's organize, I would say, a group so that we follow the webinars. We do have connectivity issues, just like Danielle was saying. So it would be great to have someone in charge for 15 minutes for a Q&A of 15 minutes after the webinar. Is it something that we should organize with at large, the forum, online forum? Can it be direct or later on?
Jenny speaking.
Le problème de connectivité serait d'avoir le webinar en différé. Et même ceux qui n'ont pas de connectivité du tout, on a pensé à faire un fichier où il y a le webinar qu'on va dans le...
Sorry, those who were... Yes, there is another possibility. We can have a file on an USB key and give this USB key to those who have no connectivities at all. This is a global solution. Thank you very much. I'm Abdeghili, the next gen. The question I wanted to ask, first I wanted to thank you, I Can Learn, because we have learned a lot of things. I have taken some courses and learned a lot. Thank you very much. I want to know if there is a possibility for AfroLaw to have some content added. I've seen there is LACRALAW, NARALAW, but not AfroLaw. Can we have some dedicated course to AfroLaw, a course for African people? And then, as it was said yesterday or today again, we need to know how we can do some e-learning in our language, and we want some more local content in Arab and French so we can follow and learn more. Thank you very much. Thank you, Abjelil. Tijani speaking about the content creation by AfroLaw. You are welcome, of course. If we can find some people who want to propose some content, we will be very happy. We are asking some subjects, some topic for the webinar, and we don't always receive answers. So if we can have some help and some input and some topics, we will be very happy to receive it. Offline now. I'm going to explain you how we can do it. It's easy. She's going to answer my question. She didn't say yes, but she said it was possible. So we will see when they can do it. When they will be ready to do it, we will have a file that we will be able to load, to download, to put on USB key or DVD and give to the people who have no internet at all. We will give this content in three languages and the people will watch that. We will be able to add some more languages later on because it's a little more difficult. We have a caption proposal. We can do some Arabic caption we could also have a caption just for the languages who are not used. Did I answer your question? Okay. About the Q&A, we can do that offline. So we can do anything, you know, but when it gets much more difficult, it's difficult to implement it later on. So we want to keep that easy. And to keep that easy, when we follow the course, we ask the people who participate to the course to send an offline response by email. And we send those responses to the speaker, to the trainer, so he knows what do you think about the course. It's easy. It's an easy way to do that. We can find a technological solution to resolve, to solve this problem. Yes, Ali, you have the floor.
Michel, for the record. I've just noticed that on the website of I Can Learn, an introduction to LACRALO. Is it done by LACRALO themselves, or it's done by you, or each RALO can do his own, and you can post it there?
Betsy, with DPRD, for the record, I facilitate the content, so I don't create the content. I can help you curate it, and I have an educational background, so I can help you, I can give you feedback about what's effective and what students engage with most easily and what can help accommodate different learning styles. But when it comes to the actual content, that's coming from the community. So anything that you want to do, as long as it's relevant to ICANN, and as long as it's factual and not opinion, is something that we can put on I Can Learn. And I want to echo this next-gen gentleman, his comment previously. I would like to have original local content in French and in Arabic. That's a big goal for me this year. So if that's a project you want to spearhead, I am yours to work with to make that happen. And I can help connect you with other people who would also be interested in generating that. On that note, one of the things that I inherited and have started to discover, I am not an Arabic speaker, but as I started to work with different people to try to stimulate more local content in Arabic, I'm realizing how different Arabic is around the world. So one of the main things I want to do with the platform is to streamline the buttons and the instructions and the emails that come with Arabic so that an Arabic speaker in one part of the world doesn't feel like they have to translate or that they have to do it in French or English or any other language. I want it to be more sophisticated and more accessible. And then along those lines, those of you who do speak Arabic, if you see something that's awkward or that doesn't work in your region, I absolutely want you to tell me because that's something that the translation team and I are working on already, and it's something that's on my radar. And that does happen in other languages as well, but that's something that is specifically problematic with the Arabic platform right now. So I just want to make you aware that that's something that's on my radar, and I would love to have your help.
Thank you very much, Betty. Sylvia has something to say.
Yes, Ali. This is Sylvia Vivanco, for the record. The LACRALO course, it was produced by LACRALO members a couple of years ago. It was a small working group, and they developed the contents and uploaded that with the help of I Can Learn. So it's certainly something that can be done and replicated for other LACRALOs, and we can work on that. And the second comment for Betsy, we have the webinars organized in coordination with the APEC Hub, and it's basically the speakers are from the APEC Hub region, and they are local people. So we have the next webinar on March 22nd, and we can. I would like to invite Betsy to join that webinar. It will be also the second webinar with the captions, live captions. So it will be very interesting, maybe, for you to see how that works and to continue collaborating. So thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. Ali.
Yes, Ali and Michelle, for the record again. On the top of the other webinar that's been done for the APEC Hub, we have another webinars, which is most of them even in Arabic. It's done for the Middle East Working Strategy Groups with Baher and Fahad. So I think these will be good to be uploaded there as well.
Yes, definitely. Betsy with DPRD, for the record, I would be happy to participate in that webinar, and doing the live captioning ahead of time is something that's really helpful. We also have the potential to edit that, you know, for anything in captioning that sometimes slips through the cracks. When it goes on to iCanLearn, we can go back in and edit it, which is great. I would love to have that original Arabic content. And there's one more point I wanted to make. In addition to being able to add the discussion points in the Q&A that Tijani was talking about earlier, we can certainly add that in to an iCanLearn course. But you could also host a live chat Q&A discussion on iCanLearn. So that doesn't help with connectivity problems, but that does help with real-time learning. You can obviously do it in Adobe Connect at the same time that you're doing your webinar, but if you want to do it at a different time, if you want to have a follow-up after people have digested the information, iCanLearn is a great place to make that happen.
Wonderful. Wafa.
Just one comment about the Middle East strategy. I think we have a meeting with your colleague yesterday, and they are aware of this Middle East strategy. And when I asked about the Compilot project, she said, how do they choose their countries? She said, from these outputs. I think you already have this this report.
I think you're right.
Okay, thank you. Abdeljalil.
Merci, Abdeljalil.
Thank you, Abdeljalil. Speaking, can we have some certificate? And when you do some capacity building, some training, we need a certificate. And I've heard that some courses can be paid. Tijani speaking, no, nothing is paid, and we can't give any certificate. I'm sorry.
For the record, Tijani is right. iCanLearn is always free to create a course. It's always free to take a course. There is one group right now that is working on how to provide a certificate, but I would like to stress that that needs to come from the group. That's not something that ICANN can issue. But so that you know, there is the capacity within the platform to basically clock the progress of a student. So from the back end, you can see that a student has to complete a lesson in order to move on to the next one, and that's a setting that we can change. So sometimes there are courses that people want to pick and choose the lessons or lectures that they want to do, and then other times there are courses that are important to start at the beginning and go through to the end. And I just want to make you aware that that is something we can set up when we do a course, and that is something that we can monitor when we do a course. So if in the future you ever did want to provide some kind of certification, you would have assurance that a student had completed specific lessons within the course. Having said that, there is a glitch that if you get to the last screen of the course and you don't click complete at the end of the last screen, the statistics that it gives to me, it tells me that you are 97% through the course. And I discovered that by looking at the reports and noticing that the vast majority of students were 97% complete. And I thought, why are they not completing this course? And it's just because they're not clicking the final complete button. So I'm going to work on taking that button away, but I just wanted you to know that that's something that factors in terms of completing a course and being able to monitor that.
Thank you very much, Betty. May I suggest that we have a teleconference together, you and the working group, in two weeks, something like this. And we try to decide, because now we are talking, we try to decide to take actions so that you have already time to think about it, to perhaps to consult with other people, and we will try to put together our ideas and our needs and come up to you with specific needs and specific requests. Possible? Action item? Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Humberto Carrasco. I'm going to speak in Spanish.
Okay.
thank you for showing the example of Lacrallo. I am a member of Lacrallo. Yesterday, I received an email from Raime Siterio from Lacrallo from Venezuela, and he wants to know, I'm asking a question on his behalf, is it possible to develop a course on IPv6 for technical people from Latin America and the Caribbean? Actually, this question was stemmed from the hub they created on this event. And he's also asking about certification, but this answer was already given a few minutes ago. On this issue of certification, let me say that we are working in Lacrallo on this. We are developing contacts with some universities so that some of the contents that can be taught on the ICANN platform or even the regional contents might be certified by some Latin American universities. We have made a lot of progress with a Colombian university, and we are exploring the possibilities with other universities. Maybe this direct agreement is much faster than others through ICANN, because each university, each educational institution, each country has its own regulations in terms of certification. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really have a problem with certification, because certification may be considered as a diploma, as a degree, especially if it comes from a university. And as you said, from a country to another, from a culture to another, it's different. What kind of certification we can have from the ICANN learn should not be considered as a diploma. It should be considered as a certification that the student or the participants participates in this course. That's all. This is my point of view. I don't know what the other members of the working group. Yes, Cheryl.
Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. And Tijani, I hear what you're saying, and I agree in principle, but here's the but. I think it may be possible for us to look at clearly identifiable and uniform, because I get nervous about diversity of local certification too, certificates of attendance in these courses, which are clearly delineatable from anything that can be interpreted or misinterpreted as having the academic rigor, which I know is what you're fearing. So, you know, I earned my degrees the hard way. I'd prefer other people to have to at least suffer slightly to do the same. So, yes, I think we can find a way around it, but I am actually keener on having something that is clearly identifiable as real completion of, not one I've printed off at my neighbour's printer. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. We are in full agreement. I said exactly that. I said a certificate of attendance, perfect. But a certification as a degree or as a knowledge degree or a knowledge certification, I cannot imagine that it is possible. Any other thoughts about that? So, Betty, now we will speak. Moment, please. We will speak about the possibility of giving the certificate. You said it is the community issue, and I understand it. Means that if for example, at large, is doing the course and putting it in on the platform, it is up to the at large to prepare this certificate and to deliver it, so that it will be. Certificate of participation of this particular course. Is it what you mean?
Yeah, yes. I can track the information and I can provide it to you, but because the course content is going to be coming from so many different sources, we have some university academic courses that are coming up. We have some contracts with different universities who are going to provide content. There are different groups that are going to provide content. The certification can't come from ICANN. It needs to come from the individual group. However, I can provide you with the information that you need to know that someone has genuinely engaged with the course. We can also set up quizzes where they have to be taken and they have to be answered correctly in order for someone to complete the course. So that might give you the information that you need. You can't certify that someone has the skills because you don't know that. Exactly. But you can certify that someone has completed it, gone through, and answered questions correctly. And for the record, I would just like to tell you the action items that I need for you that might help us prepare for this next conference call. So I need three things. I need the priorities for the backlog, which we already discussed. I need your schedule of upcoming webinars so that I'm sure it's built into my schedule and I don't miss something big. Or so that I have the opportunity to be sure I have the time to upload something or to help you upload it immediately following the webinar. And I need a point of contact for each individual course or each topic. That is something we haven't done in the past, but I'm noticing that some courses are we're now 2 or 3 years down the line, and I don't know exactly whom to contact to be sure that information is correct. This is clearly coming to the fore because of the transition, and a lot of information is going to change, but I need to be able to have a systematic way as ICANN Learn expands to be able to contact sort of champions of each course or of each topic and say, you know, have you reviewed this in a while? It's been 6 months since we spoke. You know, are there things that we need to update? Can I help you do that? So those are the three things I need: priority for backlog, schedule of upcoming webinars, and a point of contact for each course to keep up to date, and also so that there's a designee to follow the discussion, and it's not just me, because I'm not a subject matter expert. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Betty. Thank you for all this. We ran out of the time, and the next user of this room will not be happy if we exceed the time. So I added a point, an issue on the agenda, which is capacity building working group, capacity building in the railroads. My concern, and I expressed it several times, that we are duplicating effort. When we decided to make the outreach in the university here, we made it inside the outreach subcommittee. We discussed it in the outreach subcommittee. We spoke about the program in the outreach subcommittee. This is what I want and I prefer to do for the capacity building. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we had better override the capacity building working group. Anything done in the RALO will be thought by the RALO people, decided on by the RALO people. The time is decided by the RALO people. Everything is done by them. But it is in the framework of the working group so that we don't duplicate effort, so that we don't have several pieces of capacity building. So if this is possible, we continue. If it is not possible, I will not continue the working group because it will be a working group of people who are outside some RALOs, and I don't accept it. If you have thoughts about that, please, very, very quickly, because Cheryl will be angry if we don't finish. Okay. Okay. So. Is there any thoughts about that?
Well, good morning. I speak Spanish. Bueno, seré breve porque sé que no tenemos mucho tiempo.
This is Adrián Carballo. I will be brief. I am chair of the foundation Incluirme. I wanted to share with you that for some years we have a project called the School of the South. We will have it at the OES next year, in next April, for the 9th edition. The participants are all fellows by this time. Certainly all the positions have been filled in for this course. I just wanted you to know that all our events have simultaneous translation services, face-to-face, streaming, and audio channels. So my point here is to invite you to participate remotely at www.governanceinternet.org. There you can see the agenda for the event, the main topic. There are three themes: internet governance, cybersecurity, and freedom of speech. We have entered an agreement with the Secretary General of the OAS, with the support of the Department of State. The advisor on cybersecurity to Obama will be there. Vint Cerf will be there. I think Fadi will also be there. It's to be confirmed. But you can download and check the agenda in the website. And this is an event that we hold on an annual basis in March, April. So I would be delighted if we see in the future applications for fellows, for scholars, of those who want to participate from the ALSs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this information. May I ask Humberto to email us the email address, the URL.
Yeah. The URL.
Yeah. Okay, email it so that we can. Okay. Thank you very much for that. So, last words about the capacity building inside the ICANN and inside the at large and inside the RALOs. Yes, Cheryl.
Very briefly, Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I just want to put it on the record how thrilled and delighted I am with the DPRT, your team. You're engaging us well. You're responsive. You're reactive. You're not just saying the right thing. I actually trust that you will be doing the right thing. So it's going to be great future steps. And I, for one, want to thank you both because the work you've done, even with our accessibility working group, you are here, you're present, you're engaged, and I trust that this is going to happen. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Yes, Wafa.
Yes, Wafa, for the record, I want really to thank you all, especially the staff working with you, Citigeni, because they take this this capacity building task force evolving, and that's very nice with this quiz and these surveys. I was in this, responded to this quiz, and really it's a great work, congratulations for Ariel and Gisela with you. And learn also the learn of ICANN, the learn platform, because I was there in this platform, and the fact to have the details with the slides, when we find not only mute slides, there are details with these slides, and this is really, really a great work. Thank you. Thank you all.
Yes, I think that we have to thank very much Betty and her department for the effort they do, and I will thank her more when we implement our cooperation. When we, yeah, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say you're very welcome, and yes, indeed, Cheryl, I do intend to deliver and work with you all to make this a resource that really works for your community. You're part of the community.
Thank you very much, and the last word will be a big thank to our staff. Especially Gisela and Ariel, who are working with us. Also, there is what's her name? The quiz. Thierry, who helped us with the quiz. So thank you very much, all the staff, but in particular, Thierry, Ariel, and Gisela. Thank you for you, because you are participating, because you participate in the webinars and you are from the working group. We will send you an email to confirm your membership in the working group, and we will pay attention to have at least two members from each region in the future. So if you confirm your membership, you will be the representative of your region. If you don't confirm, we will look for other people. Once more, you are a member of this group. So if you have something to do in your region, do it. Do it through the group. You will do it. We will not do it. You will do it. But we will help you. We will help you with the, if you want, the framework, the whole framework of the capacity building and at large. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Betsy. Ladies and gentlemen, the community cross-community committee on accessibility will be convening here in a mere 4 minutes' time. You are more than welcome to stay, and you are more than welcome to join us. I will be, by the way, staff staying at this end.